this year. The Lord has been talking to us about that. I want to be part of those who cooperate with the Holy Spirit to bring others to the saving knowledge of Jesus. Amen. I want to be useful to God in the most important job there is until we get to heaven, and that is to share Christ with others. I want to keep the perspective that God wants me to keep about the baptism in the Holy Ghost, this wonderful power gift. The word is dunamis, and it means it does not mean dynamite. They used to talk to me about dynamite because I could get this. We would all get this image of this great explosion of power and this great manifestation of power. But it actually means miracle working ability or supernatural ability. And when we think of supernatural ability, generally in Pentecostal circles, the first thing that comes to mind is the gifts of the Spirit, the charismata. It's come to be known as charismania in many circles because people just get so involved in the gifts of the Spirit, they fail to concentrate on that would produce the fruit of the Spirit. And without the fruit of the Spirit, it disqualifies the gifts of the Spirit. Though I speak in tongues of men and angels and have not love, the divine love, the agape love, it profits nothing. If I have faith to move mountains, there's a zeroing in on faith and its power to produce things, to reach out into nothing and bring something. And the something it brings is some tangible object for our use and good, that immediate gratification. And I'm not saying that's not part of a function of faith, but I don't believe you can develop your faith to where you can just at random, at your own will and to serve your own purpose, reach out into nothing and keep confessing something till it becomes something. I heard a preacher the other day said, we named it, we claim it, and bless God, we got it. And the it he's talking about is stuff. It's not souls for the kingdom. It's not more Christ-likeness. It's simply stuff. Amen? So they've got a bunch of stuff. And you know why that stuff is there? Is because people who also want stuff are sowing their seed into that promises to give them stuff. And we're just seeing what started out as a holiness movement that taught sanctification, living holy before the Lord, amen, and being baptized in the Holy Spirit so that we could not just show out in church and become spiritual super people, but so that we could be witnesses unto Jesus Christ. And if you're going to be a witness unto Jesus, you're going to have to be a follower of Christ. And there's just so much in this tonight. I don't know hardly where to start. We've got to keep on this subject of rekindling the first love for just a little while. You lose your lampstand, you don't win anybody to Jesus. You can know the scripture verbatim and it be true, but you just simply won't win people to Christ. How many would like to win somebody to Jesus between here and eternity? And you may have won some people, but God is desperately interested in sowing something in us that will help us to cooperate with him with the greatest work of the kingdom. Raise your eyes and look on the what? The fields. For they are what? White unto harvest. The harvest is plenteous. Here's the deal. This is the only reason to not see more people saved. And it's not sin and it's not Satan and it's not circumstances. Where sin doth abound, his grace does much more abound. Jesus said the reason for lack of harvest is not the sinfulness of the age. It's not that people won't listen. Now, there are people you can't win that are not going to listen. But there are people that are going to listen if we do it the right way. I got to get to the... I thought we were done with the lampstand thing, but we're not. It's paramount tonight. If a church, the church of Ephesus, and we read the scripture this morning, if you want to read it for homework, It's the book of Revelation, chapter 2. And we read it this morning. How many were here to hear that reading this morning? All right. So you know what that says, don't you? Amen. For time's sake tonight. He says, with all of your spiritual credentials, with all of your biblical knowledge, if you don't have that love that melts you and makes you tender and kind and passionately in love with God and loving people, I'm going to remove your lampstand. If he does it from a church, he'll do it with a person. Because he didn't take it from the building, did he? It wasn't the building that was shining the light. Amen. It was the Christians in that church. When their Christianity became nothing more than really they had substituted their religious truth And there was nothing wrong with it. It's essential. But they'd substituted that for a relationship with Christ that was personal, intimate, and meaningful. Even to the church of Laodicea, he said, you know, if you open the door, something's going to happen. I'm going to come in, number one. And number two, I'm going to sup with you, and you're going to sup with me. There's going to be intimacy between us. There's going to be a love relationship. There's going to be a holy exchange. What's holding back revival and the harvest is a church that is not deeply in love with Jesus. Now, you may be committed to his truth. There's a difference in being committed to his truth and being in love with him. Amen. You can be committed to his truth and not love him. Amen. And he says, if you don't love me, you're going to lose your influence. There will be no supernatural. When you tell that truth to somebody, the Holy Spirit's not going to be able. Because, see, their heart's going to close off to just the letter. How many know nobody's going to get saved just because you read them scripture? Amen. Nobody's going to get saved reading that Bible unless the Holy Spirit works in conjunction with the Word. Amen. Jesus said, no man comes to me except my Father draw. And the revelation that Peter had of Jesus, he said, flesh and blood did not reveal this unto you, but my Father in heaven. That means you can't, with your knowledge of Scripture, communicate Christ, even though the Scriptures are, you can take them down the Roman road. You can give them the four spiritual laws. You can read them verbatim what the Word of God has to say. Have you ever been anywhere where someone read something out of the Bible or said something out of the Bible without the love of God in their heart and nobody listened? Have you ever seen that? Don't be guilty of that yourself. Learn from that. If they're not listening, it don't matter what you're saying. If they close off, it don't matter. There's a guy I worked with, and he'd quote scripture like that. He was good at it, and he knew he was good at it. But he was trying to win an argument, not minister Christ to people. There was no love in it. There was truth all over the place. I ask people all the time, do you love the Lord? And the pat answer from everybody is, yes, I love the Lord. Hey, man, this is messing up, and I'm gonna go ahead and change. Okay, the antennas. Okay, thank you for putting it up. What would I do without my technical, anointed technical guy here? Praise God. Hallelujah. I want to be part of the reapers this year. I go into a subway, as I was telling you about, and there's a lady works in there beside this Latino fella. There's a lady that works in there, and I'm going to guess her age, and that's dangerous because she's a feisty lady. But she's not here to hear it, so I'm going to go ahead and venture a guess. She's got to be in her 70s. She's from New York City, transplanted here in the South, but she's got that New Yorker attitude. And I mean, she's the kind of gal you wouldn't want to, you know, get. She's little, but she's feisty and she's wiry. And she's not one of those people that you would expect to be a huggy person. I go in with Matt a lot, and Matt's got this sweet, tender spirit. And he's withdrawn and everything, but he's got this sweet, tender spirit about him. And so the other day, he and I were in there, and finally, after all this time of going to the subway, she come out from behind the counter. And she give me a big hug. She's in her 70s, so Pamela won't be jealous. Not that the 70s, you know what I'm saying. She's shooing me away. Not that, I mean, I'm 63. I mean, you know, but Pamela saw her, and she's not pretty like Sister Ruth. As pretty, let's put it. She's just a little old, you know, spiffy of a woman. She's just a little old lady, you know, ready to go around with you, look like any time, New York attitude. She come out from behind the counter and see she's been softening to kindness, the fruit of kindness, the fruit. Everybody say the fruit of kindness. See, there's some fruit of the Spirit you never hear about. That's one of those underrated that you never hear about, yet it's a product of the Holy Spirit. It's a legitimate product of the Holy Spirit. And it does, it breaks down barriers. It gets people open to listen to what you have to say. It's a product of love. Love is not puffed up. Love is kind. Can you say amen? Love worketh no ill toward its neighbor. Therefore, love is the fulfilling of the law. Amen. Isn't that an incredible statement to make? That love fulfills the law? How can you break the law? If you love somebody the way God says you're supposed to love them as your own self. Amen? You're not going to kill somebody you love. You're not going to steal from somebody that you love. You're not going to get involved with somebody's wife that you love. Amen. Love is going to cause you to. That's why the Gentiles begin to do by nature that was commanded in the law. And Paul said, I want to provoke the Jews that are following the legal letter. I'm trying to follow the legal letter. I want to provoke them to jealousy, because the Gentiles that have received Jesus and had their heart changed are doing by a new nature everything that's contained in the law. Isn't that incredible? Because the nature was reflective of love. And finally, this wiry lady came out from behind the counter when we came in, and she embraced me and gave me a big hug in public. I mean, I got people that say, "Dear Lord, you don't go to one of those churches where men hug men and all that," and you know, but and all that stuff. But she come out and she gave me a big hug, and she grabbed Matt and gave him a big hug. And of course, now we accuse Matt of having a girlfriend. We really get his goat. I mean, you know, this little lady, she looks like, I'll tell you who she looks like and acts like in her demeanor, except with a New York attitude. Think of this lady with a New York attitude, and that's Granny on Beverly Hillbillies. Honestly, she looks like her. She's Granny with, and think of Granny on Beverly Hillbillies with a New York attitude, and that's this lady. So, and the reason we said that, I went in without Matt the other night to get us a Subway, and I went to get a Subway sandwich, and she said, where's my boy? I said, well, he's not with me tonight. And she said, well, you got to take him some cookies. And she, you know, they got cookies in Subway? No charge either. She just reaches over and gets a big handful of those cookies, sticks them in a bag, and says, take this to my baby. And then she said, he's so sweet and he's so kind. And she said, I bet sometimes people pick on him because he's so got that. And I said, yep, in school way back years ago they used to. And she said, well, if anybody picks on him, she said, you, and she went like that, she said, if anybody ever picks on him, said, you just let me know. And I tell you, it was Granny on Beverly Hillbillies. You just let me know. So now I went home, took Matt his cookies, and I said, Matt's got a girlfriend. Matt's got a girlfriend. Amen. Hallelujah. What those people are responding to is a fruit of the Holy Spirit. We're so caught up in gifts and anointings, we're not even concerned about Christian leaders bearing the fruit of the Spirit. And yet, when you go to communicate the gospel of Jesus Christ, if the fruit of the Spirit isn't present, there's not going to be a true communication of the gospel, even though it's in that book and we're reading it from that book, and it is right and it is holy, because Ephesus had all of the mechanics of it right, but they didn't have the character and nature of Jesus formed in them. They lost that love for him. That passion was gone for him. And believe me, when people don't love God, they're not going to have much real, genuine love for you. Because that heart that was softened out of a passionate love for him, it's going to begin to callous over and get hard. They'll win an argument. Amen. To say, I win, you lose. That doesn't open people to the gospel. I mean, no, that opens no one to the gospel. In fact, the Bible said to watch out, don't get sucked in to foolish arguments. Not good biblical questions that should be answered, but foolish things. You know, how could a fish, the Jonah thing, how could I've heard that all my life. Don't you know the gastric juices would eat a guy up and all this stuff? By the way, the Jonah thing that we were discussing, legitimate stuff. The actual, where Jesus said it was a whale, it's a word for leviathan, it's a word for sea monster, it's a word for fish. In the Latin Vulgate, it was translated whale, but it can be translated about three other ways. We know it was a sea. I think it probably was a whale. Amen. But it could have been any number of things. And people get the Red Sea, same thing. Do you believe that stuff? You believe that Jonah and the whale stuff? I heard a true story of a little boy was telling his teacher about Jonah and the whale, and she just was one of these secular humanists that don't believe in the Bible, the supernatural, probably an agnostic at the least and an atheist at the worst. And she says, I don't believe. Said, don't you know, because she's coming at this scientifically. By the way, I did a little research on that because we have an interchange, me and Doug. And a great white shark in the Mediterranean, the big whales that have the capacity of getting it, there's a narrow throat because they don't eat meat. They eat plankton, except for the big killer whales. And so their throat's not built to swallow big things. But I'll tell you who's got a throat to swallow big things. And that's a great white. And he does live in the Mediterranean. And he's got a throat. They found part of a buffalo in a great white. Someone was transporting buffalo, you know, and then they're going to kill them when they get there because they didn't have no way of preserving the meat and got overboard or whatever, and a great white just grabbed him. They found a whole horse inside a great white. He does have the capacity, but that's neither here nor there. The point was, this teacher was arguing, God prepared a fish. That's the bottom line. So God could have enlarged it. God could have done anything he wanted to do to give it, whatever it was. But the teacher, just seeing everything in the scientific thing, says, see, he said something about Jonah and the whale, because they were doing some kind of art thing, and he made this whale swallowing this man. And she's looking at that and says, you don't really believe that a whale swallowed a man. And he said, yeah, it's in, the little kid says, yeah, it's in the Bible. It's in the Bible. Learned it in Sunday school. She said, well, this ain't Sunday school. You know, this ain't Sunday school. You know, she didn't use ain't, but I'm just, you know, ad-libbing here. This is not Sunday school. And besides that, don't you know that the throat of the whale is too narrow to get a man down it in the first place? How do you think a man got in the belly of that whale? Because the throat's too narrow to actually swallow him, which isn't true. There is a whale with big enough throat, but that's neither here nor there. Here's the deal. She said, so how do you know since the throat's too little? And the kid now is exasperated. You know, he's got this teacher with all this knowledge wanting to argue with him. And so he says, well, he said, I don't know, but I believe it. And she said, well, tell me how this thing was supposed to swallow him. He said, well, I'll just ask Jonah when I get to heaven. I like the boys. I'll ask Jonah when I get to heaven. And of course, she don't believe in heaven. So she said, well, what if Jonah isn't there? And he says, well, then you can ask him. I like that. Sometimes kids have the last word, even though intelligence has the edge. Smart kid. He got it. Hallelujah. But his faith wasn't rattled. That's what I'm saying. His faith wasn't rattled by someone who didn't believe. We just can't let unbelievers rattle us. Can you say, man? And engage us in foolish and unlearned questions that the only thing that's going to happen when we enter into it, it genders strife. We're just going to be like this, and the world looking on is just going to watch us argue and not see Jesus lifted high. Listen to me carefully. I want a lampstand in my personal life and in my ministerial life because I knew people that were bold, they were straightforward, they are biblically correct. But the thing that was missing in their heart and life was a genuine, passionate love for Christ and a genuine, passionate love for people. And when they started talking about Scripture, they literally would begin to turn people off, and you could watch them shut down and shut down and shut down and shut down. If people's hearts are shutting down, the Holy Spirit is not going to invest in that witness and that testimony, because people are already closing off. But where hearts are opening up, the Holy Spirit is going to come alongside and he's going to invest. They had a truth, but they lorded that truth over people. Amen. They didn't love people. And because of that, God said, you can't represent me. You cannot possibly be a representation of me unless you love me with a first love. See that first love for the Lord? You know what it does? It softens hearts. Again, I'm going to ask you, have you ever been around someone that could quote Scripture all over the place? But when they did, people shut it off. It's almost, you could almost see them spiritually doing this. It's not because what they were saying was wrong. It was because of the attitude. The fruit of the Spirit was not present. That character of Christ. One thing I love about Jesus is that kids loved him. Kids thronged him. Kids wanted to be near him. There must be more than this theological spouting giant of us biblically discerning and disseminating man. There was a loving spirit that drew them in. And kids couldn't wait to get near him. And he couldn't wait to receive them. He took them on his lap and he held them and he blessed them. I'm so glad that the first thing that happened in trying to communicate Christ to people at Subway is that first we begin to love them and care about them and be patient when they don't have the right kind of bread. Can you say amen and say it's okay? Amen. And begin to get them to open up. Then when we come in behind that with the gospel of Jesus Christ, it's powerful and God's Spirit's going to be with it because we've already communicated the love of Jesus to them. Listen to this. And you will receive power after the Holy Ghost has come upon you, and you shall be witnesses unto me in Judea and Samaria and the uttermost part of the world. That is not the boldness to go out and witness. Something is taking place because the Holy Spirit can come and indwell us. You will be witnesses unto me. I could be rude, impatient, not show any love whatsoever, and take the four spiritual laws and leave it with a tip on the table. But I have already turned people off with my demeanor. And if I turn them off, what are we? Living epistles. We are... I used to think the epistles were the wife of the apostles. But I was winning souls to Jesus. I thought Job was Job. I pronounced Malachi Malachi. I didn't know the correct pronunciation. I was so out of touch with and the first soul I won to Jesus, I couldn't have quoted three scriptures hardly by memory. But I knew in whom I had believed. And I was persuaded that he was able to keep what I committed. And when the first soul I won to the Lord was Larry Messenger. I'll never forget. First man I won to the Lord. And I won him to Jesus without trying to win him to Jesus. I wasn't expecting to be a soul winner yet. All I was, I just loved God. I had come to know Christ as my Savior, and I loved God. Amen. I grew up in church at 12 years old. My mother and dad divorced. I got bitter in my heart. I quit God. I quit church. I turned my back on everything. I became the original Fonzarelli. I think I could have sued him for a copyright infringement because before Fonz ever developed his character, I was the Fonz. I didn't change my haircut till after. I think I was married for a while, and I went into a barber shop to get my hair cut. And a guy said, he said, "I haven't seen a haircut like this in years." I knew right then I was out of style and outdated. He said, "I haven't seen a haircut like this in years. A Hollywood flat top." That it was flat on top, but there was enough in front to curl over into a peak that came down to right here. Okay? And then it's swept back on the sides and comes around the back. So they call that sweeping back on Hollywood flat top with fender skirts. That means it comes back this way. And then it curls around the back, comes together. And as it comes together in the back, then you put your comb. You take your comb after you sweep it. It's flat on the top but long on the sides. And you sweep it to the back. And then when you get it right back here to meet, then you take your comb and go straight down. And it pulls it right straight down in the back. And that's called a duck's tail. So, I mean, this is super cool. I'm talking now. We got a Hollywood. He said, "I haven't seen this in years. A Hollywood flat top with fender skirts and a duck's tail." Somebody say, "You the man." Amen. I'll tell you. But even the man had went out of style. Amen. I was completely out of style. That was way, way back in the day. I don't even know where I was going with that, but I got to tell you my little story tonight. The Holy Ghost will bring it back if it's important. If it isn't, just forget I ever said it. Praise God. Hallelujah. But the Lord knows where He's trying to take us tonight. You know what I'm concerned about? I'm concerned about knowing so much truth, being able to be a clear communicator of that truth verbally and intellectually, and not having the Holy Spirit. I know what I was talking about. It's my first soul that we won to Christ. I remember I didn't know any of this stuff. I was this cool guy. I was this cool guy at school. I was this guy that went to work with that image, and I was the black leather jacket type of guy. I did have the motorcycle when I was in junior high school, and back then if you had a motorcycle in junior high school, I got an email from a guy I went to school with and hadn't seen him since 1963. That's a long time ago. I haven't seen him since 1963. I mean, that's a lot of years. And he come on Facebook and said, you know, something to me. And then he said, do you remember? And he called the name of our school. Do you remember Horace Mann? That was junior high school. And do you remember that BSA motorcycle? He not only knew I had a motorcycle, he knew the brand of the motorcycle. Wow, I made an impression. Can you say, man? I mean, that's really something. Because if you had a motorcycle in 1963 in junior high school, you were on the top of the list of cool. And if you had on top of that Hollywood flat top with fender skirts and a duck's tail, you were in the super cool class. So when I went to work for Winn-Dixie Warehouse and I was selecting frozen food, I went in there with the black leather jacket and an attitude. Amen. I was the cool guy and I was the tough guy. I remember I was a little guy, so I had to make up for it with the cool stuff. So I needed a job. I had a wife and baby. I couldn't fool around no more. Just cut my hair with that good old-fashioned. You know, after a while, you don't get them to work with you on your do. You go to those cheap barber shops where they only cut it one way for everybody. Amen. You can tell them anything you want, but they're going to do the same thing. I might as well to join the United States Marine Corps. Amen. These guys were military types anyway, old codger types. And when I come walking in, these old codgers, they'd listen to you and say, well, how do you want this cut? And I'd like a little off here, not too much off of there. Okay. Zip, 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 zip. You come out the same way. You know, you could do like that all day. You can't even ruffle it. There's not enough left. And all of it went the same. I went in that way. But when Jesus came into my heart, it all changed. Something changed. I was the unchurched guy that hadn't been to church since I was 12 years old. Amen. Just being that super cool in. If you want to go out to the ABC liquor store on break and down a few, I used to go to the Pizza Hut and with a guy, and we'd be sitting in Pizza Hut and he was ordering Michelob beers and sit there in the Pizza Hut because it was close to where I worked. And you didn't have time to go all the way to some other place. And sit there in Pizza Hut and just get one piece of pizza. The main reason you're there is to chug a lug as many. And he would order Michelobes until, you know, it got. He would order a Michelob. And we knew when he ordered the Michelob, it's time to quit ordering the Michelobes because once you can't pronounce it, it's time to go. And what really got me back in the day was, amen, when a family would come into the Pizza Hut with two of their children to eat a pizza, and he'd be sitting there drinking his Michelob, you know, with me, and we'd be sitting there drinking the Michelob and look over at them kids, and he'd say, what are they doing bringing kids in a place like this? And I said, man, this is the Pizza Hut. So when I got saved, things changed. My demeanor changed. Everything changed when I came to Jesus. A passion for Jesus was in my heart. I remember going to work about 6 or 7 weeks after receiving Jesus as my Savior. And I remember walking in and I was just trying to get it right in my own heart and life. I was concerned about witnessing. I feel completely unqualified to witness to anybody. I didn't know about the Roman road. Like I say, I just didn't know that much. Going to church with my daddy was to, you know, write love notes to girls and get milkshakes on the way home and all the other stuff. It wasn't to get anything from Sunday school. Oh, man, what a joke that was. Our Sunday school teacher was just a big cut up, just wanted us to hush and be still so he could, you know, get through it and get us out of there. So I didn't learn nothing much in Sunday school. But anyway, and less at church. But when God got a hold of my heart and it was for real and it took, everything changed. I didn't know the scripture. I couldn't take them down the Roman road to lead them to Christ. I couldn't give them any of that. But my life had been changed. And I loved Jesus Christ. It was real. It was genuine. It was authentic. I didn't join the church and get religion. I found a real, satisfying, saving relationship with Jesus. And I would go in and I would talk to the Lord on the way to work and weep for joy all the way to work. And sit and look at my watch, as I was prone to do and still have done in my recent job history. Sit in my car and talk to God until I could just have time to run in, punch in, get on my uniform, get in there and hit it for 8, 12, sometimes 15 hours. And I remember sitting in my car and just saying, Lord, I love you so much, just like that song. Lord, I love you so much. Jesus, I love you. Thank you for saving me. Thank you for loving me. I love you, Lord. I love you, Lord. And then I'd start weeping for joy, and I'd wipe the tears from my eyes and say, now I got to go do this job. And I just went in, and I remember we worked the first half of the night, and lunch hour came, and everybody's in there eating all the stuff they got. Some of them went to get something to drink, and I don't drink with them anymore. And anyway, I'm outside, and I'm just thanking the Lord for His goodness. And I've had my sandwich, and I'm just outside standing on the dock. Honestly, I was thinking about the soon coming of Jesus. Our pastor had been teaching on the prophecies and where we were in prophecy and how soon Jesus was coming. And I was excited about Jesus coming soon. And I was just thinking, what would happen if He came right now? Amen. And they looked for me to go back to work and pull these orders, and they couldn't find me anywhere. And they couldn't find me because me and my family had been caught up in the rapture. Praise God. I mean, I was loving God. I just lived this thing day in and day out. And the church going, of all the people, to be the first person that I was privileged through God, not much of me, more of Him, was a man who went to church every Sunday. But when he got to the job, there was no semblance of anything godly or any relationship with Jesus. But he was a church-oriented guy. He was baptized in water. He went to church dutifully every Sunday with his wife. He was a member in good standing of the church. He could have led me down the Roman road, but I couldn't lead him down it because I didn't know enough scripture. And he came out, and he grabbed hold of my hand, and I turned to look at him, and there was tears in his eyes. And he said, Bobby, I saw something in your face tonight. I've got to talk to you. And there's tears in his eyes, and I thought, Lord, you got a hold of him. I got a fish on here, and I don't know how to get it in. I got a fish on the line, and I don't even know how to reel it in. I wasn't expecting. I wasn't even fishing, I thought. A lampstand is an awesome thing. A lampstand means God through the supernatural. Come on, this candlestick that they lost was the supernatural power of God to take the blinders off of the eyes, amen, to show people the glory of Jesus Christ, to show them the gospel, amen. And with that lampstand going, all we have is intellect to fight spiritual darkness with. And intellect can't unlock prison houses. The God of this world has done what? Blinded the mind. If the mind is blinded by something supernatural, how are we going to use just intellectual rightness, correctness, even biblical truth and proof? How are we going to get past that supernatural blindness? We can't without a lampstand. What does a lampstand do? What's its function? Shines. What does it do to the darkness? Dispels it. The light shines in the darkness. The darkness comprehendeth it not. Can you say amen? But the darkness is dispelled by the light. And the light was shining through me supernaturally. Sitting out there in that car loving on Jesus. And showing the love of God, the change, the fruit, the product of the Holy Spirit. The first fruit of the Spirit is love. And it's not just to love people with first. It's to love God with. God gave us the capacity to love Him with the kind of love that He loves us with. Why would God ask you to love people with all your heart and not love Him with all. He asks you to love Him with all your heart. In order to love people or Him with all of your heart, it takes the supernatural. And the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Spirit. It's a product of the Holy Spirit. I told my wife, I said, I looked through the Bible. I didn't know where to begin. I just closed it up. And I said, Larry's invited us over tonight to his house. He says that he's got to talk to us. And I know he was under conviction because he had tears in his eyes at the job site. And so we arrived and we ate dinner with them. And he said, come on, let's go where we can talk. And we went in the back bedroom. And we closed the door. And he stood there and began to just weep and tremble, tears rolling down his cheeks. And I said, Larry, I don't know what to tell you. Suddenly, tears began to run down my cheeks. I just said, Larry, I said, all I know is. And I began to tell him what happened to me and how Jesus came in and changed my life, saved my soul. And he knew it was real because he detected it before I said one word to him. The fruit, the product of the Holy Spirit, the lampstand. Everybody say the lampstand. See, people think he removed it from a church, and we think in our personal lives it wouldn't happen. Honey, the church is us. Can you say, man? It wasn't the building at Ephesus. It wasn't the geographic location. It was the attitude of the hearts of those people. He said, if you don't repent, if you don't recognize this desperate need that you have for a genuine, authentic relationship of love between you and me, you're not going to be able to win souls, because what you're giving is a truth without the very essence of God that validates it. Speak the truth in. And I don't mean the mouth type, the religious brand. I'm talking about something people can feel, sense. I didn't realize it, but God immediately, because I loved Him and I loved people. Part of my weeping was for joy, and part of it was over lost souls. My heart was broken. I used to weep on people passing me on the interstate, just the thought that they might not know Jesus, and if they went off the road, they'd be lost forever. Tore my heart apart, rended my heart. I don't believe I would be preaching today unless my heart could be rended, because I didn't get into this as a profession. Amen. And loving God and loving people caused a lampstand to shine. Everybody say a lampstand to shine. I met a preacher in a hospital. We got into a discussion. Part of that years ago was about his retirement. He said, I don't fight it anymore. Whatever they want to do at my church, let them do it. I don't try to make anything happen anymore. He didn't put it into words, but in so many words, I'm not concerned about revival. I'm not concerned about people's spiritual life. I deliver the message on Sunday. See, that passion. If you're passionate for the Lord, you can't help but be jealous for the things of God. You want to see God's people move forward in Him. You can't, even if it costs you your J-O-B, can you say, man? You stand up and you challenge people and you stand for His truth. He said, and it got down to the point, he said, but my wife is working and it won't be long. I'll be to retirement age. And he said, besides, it's too late to go back and do anything else. In other words, now this is nothing but a profession. Now he's going to read what he's experienced in reading, correct truth out of that book. He's going to tell that truth on Sunday morning. But that truth, without a passionate love for God and a love for people, is going to go out and it's going to fall short. It's not going to accomplish the mission. The lampstand is gone in that life. Amen? When a lampstand's removed from a life, you're filled with truth. You know the Roman road. You could give all kinds of scriptures, but nothing is happening. Nothing is happening. Nothing is happening. Because you're coming against a supernatural enemy that's blinded. And the only thing to combat that darkness with is the supernatural light that is given by the Holy Spirit. Everybody say the supernatural light given by the Holy Spirit. Can you say, man, you can't do this just by knowing the truth. You've got to walk in it in an authentic relationship with Jesus. And the only authentic relationship with the Lord is a passionate love for God. Can you say, man? Hallelujah. Listen to me very carefully. Once that passion is gone, we're unconvincing to a gainsaying world. They hear it, but they don't sense it, and they don't see it. You lose your lampstand in spite of your knowledge and maybe even your desire to see people saved. It doesn't come through. We can't join the reapers until we love Him and we love them with passionate hearts. All I knew to tell, I felt love for Larry. Larry's a church man, but his heart, he's never gotten saved. He's told he's saved, but he knows he isn't. And the only way he knew he wasn't was seeing somebody really get saved, because he knew that change hadn't come to him. Amen. He could dirty joke with us. He could curse with us. Amen. He didn't drink with us, however, but he wasn't saved. But when he got in the presence of someone who was saved and really loved God, it just convicted him. And the tears were streaming. And I said, Larry, I love you. All I can tell you is God loves you. Jesus is real. And He'll save you tonight if you'll just ask Him into your heart. Amen. And Larry Messenger asked Jesus Christ into his heart in that bedroom. Amen. To become his Lord and his personal Savior. And to this day, as far as I know, he's serving Jesus Christ. And there's he said, and I remember one of the testimonies, because he went to a church that wasn't, quote unquote, Spirit-filled. But he said, here's how that love works. He said, we got some of the most fantastic singers you've ever heard. They are so good. He said, but they can sing, and said, everyone enjoys and gives them a hand clap when they sing. But he said, there's a guy that works for either Publix or Cash and Carry, probably Publix. I think he was a meat cutter in Publix. And said, he just doesn't sing on key like he should. Sometimes he forgets some of the lyrics of the song. But he loves the Lord so much. When he sings, he just shuts his eyes. Amen. He sings with passion in his heart. And he says, see, I knew what it was. He said, I can't explain it. I can't explain it. But when he sings, something happens. Everybody feels it. Can you say, man, have you ever heard something like that? Somebody could sing it so good, but that's all it was the beauty of their voice. Amen. But somebody can't sing as good, but sings from the heart, and you feel it. You feel it. Can you say, man? Hallelujah. And when people feel it, that means there's a lampstand there. He loved God. He loved people. And that light was shining forth. Incredible. I've read and listened to some of the sermons of some of the great soul winners of old. If you're looking for some deep, special revelation that we need to get a hold of to win people, it's not there. It's the Bible. It's the fundamentals of the faith. Amen. No new revelation. Well, what gave them such impact and influence? You shall receive power after the Holy Ghost is upon you, and you shall have all the multifaceted gifts of the Spirit. No, you shall be witnesses unto me in Judea and Samaria and the uttermost part of the world. And at Antioch, they named them something. The people who viewed them put a title and a moniker upon them. They were called Christian. Can you say, man, they recognized in their character, amen, a sweetness and a gentleness and a kindness and a goodness. Is that the fruit of the Holy Spirit? I've been around preachers that had great followings and great so-called revelations, but they were not sweet, and they were not kind, and they didn't provoke you to want to hug them. And if you bug them, they'd be very quick to just snap you up and then bite your head off biblically. Amen? When you lose your lampstand, one thing I've always appreciated about Jimmy Swaggart Ministries, particularly years ago when that lampstand was so strong in it, when he would start playing that piano, sung a song that's been sung in church from the hymnal Without Passion 115 times a month, seems like. And he'd sing it with passion and compassion. And when the passion and the compassion was there and tears began to run down his cheeks, as the tears ran down his cheeks, souls come down those aisles to receive Jesus. A lampstand is a mighty thing. If you lose it, you've got all this good stuff that Ephesus had. You've got all of that truth under your belt. You test everything out. You are of the truth. You're standing on the truth. But he said, without the lampstand, you can't communicate that truth, because it's not the whole truth. It's not the whole truth, what is just written in that book. The whole truth is what is being expressed through our life. You are living epistles. You're part of this. I'm part of this. Can you say, Matt? We're part of this. And the defenses come down when we, in our demeanor, have an impact. I remember one guy at work, he was trying to witness to somebody, and he was giving them a scripture. And the other guy that was turning everybody off come by, and he says, because he called himself a minister, he says, "Do you have chapter and verse for that?" He said, "Well, I can't remember the exact chapter and verse," but he said, "Well, see, you need to get in there and study." And he was interrupting this guy sharing Christ with somebody. If somebody had come in that bedroom and told me, give me some chapter and verses, they would have interrupted a soul coming to Jesus. I couldn't give him chapter and verse, but I could tell him what happened to me, and he already believed it happened to me because he saw it in me. God just gave me a lampstand, and he let my light shine. When the lampstand's gone, you got truth, but you don't have the supernatural. And without the supernatural, you can't communicate truth to people whose minds have been blinded by the god of this world. God of this world has done what? Blinded the minds of men. And the whole world lieth in darkness, the scripture said. Literally, lieth in the power of the wicked one. And what Jesus is saying is, you can't communicate truth because it is truth. You have to have the help of the Holy Spirit. And you're not going to have that if you don't love the Lord with an authentic love. Otherwise, you're just church people. And this truth embraces more than just words on a page. It's a relationship with God. Amen? Without that relationship with God, God simply won't add that supernatural. In fact, he'll remove it and say, all you're interested in is your truth, your church, your bunch, and being right. You're not interested in loving me and showing that gainsaying world. So I'm not going to work with you. If you want to go intellect to intellect and neglect that passionate love for me and just have your jollies in being right instead of winning souls, you can be right and never win anybody to God. Never win anybody to God. Why? Because you lost your lampstand. You lost your lampstand. You may still have an anointing, but you lost your lampstand. You can preach without love. I was in Jamaica, watching these people. When they walked down those grounds, sit on 2x6s on concrete blocks, I wept. I wept until I shook with compassion and respect. I said, these people love God passionately. They love God. They put us to shame in the way they worship with no music but an old cry cymbal. And they stand and they worship him with tears in their eyes. And the kids standing with their parents. Kids are disinterested in the Bible, disinterested in the worship service. Give me the skateboard park. Give me something to do. Give me something fun. Don't hit me with that cross and communion and all that old fogey stuff. These kids were caught up in the cross and the love of God, and they loved him, and they had tears in their eyes. First time I ever heard an 8-year-old talk in tongues, filled with the Holy Spirit. I think our teenagers ain't even seeking the Holy Spirit. What do I need the Holy Spirit for? Why should I want to be filled with God's Spirit? Not even interested in worshiping with the adults. I have no desire for it. I've lost something in America. Lost something in the church. Dispassionate preachers and dispassionate parishioners. Truth. without a relationship with Christ that gives it authenticity. It's true because it's in the book. But if they don't listen, it don't matter. Can you say, man, how many know it don't matter if they don't listen? Listen to me carefully and you lose a lampstand. If you lose your lampstand, you can know, though I have all knowledge, to understand all mysteries. Come on, revelations. And have not love. I mean the real stuff between us and God and us and people. What's it going to profit? Zero. Zero. I didn't have knowledge to understand all mysteries. But I had love for God. And I had love for Larry Messenger. And he felt my love for God on that dock. And he knew he didn't have nothing close to that. Amen. He walked an aisle, shook a preacher's hand, and was told he was saved. And he knew in his heart he wasn't when he saw something authentic. I didn't have to argue doctrine to convince him. Come on. I didn't have to do that. I couldn't have done it. Amen. Intellect to intellect. But a lampstand causes those scales to fall off those eyes. Can you say, man? How many know we need a lampstand? Amen. I was so disappointed. I went to Jamaica with a heart. My heart broke. I saw little old kids. I remember one little kid had the mumps and there was no medicine for him. And that brought that kid to one of our outdoor meetings and had wrapped a towel or something around its swelling to try to hold the swelling down. I saw that child and I felt Jesus all over me and I didn't feel like running and jumping. I wanted to take those people and just bunch them up and hold them to my bosom and weep over them for joy and for Jesus. I felt compassion. Amen. Listen to me. And this minister that did the preaching, I was riding with him in a van. About the third night into the meetings, we were going somewhere in the van, and he was looking at those precious souls that God had sent us there to influence for Jesus as missionary work. And you know what he said? He looked over at me and he says, I just can't help. Now, he'd been ministering them, telling about the love of God and Jesus on the cross. He said, I just can't help but feel superior. And I thought of Ephesus. Although there's Ephesus right here. Here it is. He's got so much truth and revelation and anointing. But he don't love these people. Come on. Can you imagine Jesus walking among any people on this planet that he shed his blood for with an attitude of superiority, looking at them in a condescending way? No, that's not the Christ of the Bible. And I thought, you can preach to them, but you can't minister Jesus to them. I'll never forget when we went to Haiti, how God showed me even more. When we got in Haiti, there was a lady, and she was up in years, and she needed help getting on the bus and needed help getting off the bus. And we were going to leave Port-au-Prince, and we were going to go to Pion. And it wasn't that far, but it was going to take us about 8 hours to get there. And we were going to leave the main roads, and we were going to have to go across rivers. We had to wait till the rainy season was over to have the meeting because we couldn't get into the area because of the swollen rivers, and there was no road in. And I thought, we're going way out here this time in the boondocks. But I had my backpack. I had a picture of me. I looked like the crocodile hunter. I was going to Haiti, and I had my tent rolled up. I had my hat. I had one of those hats, you know. And I did. I looked like Jungle Jim or Jungle Bob or somebody. I was ready to rough it, man. I had the only tent when we got to Pion, Haiti. There was no lights, and they had sleeping bags, but no tent. I had the only tent. Until the missionary told us, says, now, be sure and check your sleeping bags before you get in them because there's tarantulas here. And I had a tent with a bottom and a zip-up thing. It was one of these big pack things I brought. They looked at me like, oh, man, who's he think he is? Crocodile hunter, who's he think he is? Until we got out there and needed all that stuff. Amen. I had the only mirror so that Brother Spain could comb his evangelist hair. Hallelujah. Brother Spain had evangelist hair. Amen. He had so much spray on it. Amen. When he got there after sleeping on it, amen, he would push it down. He watered it and everything else. He would push it down. It would come back out. push it, because he's going to preach the next morning, and he would push it down, and it would come back out. He preached with like one wing of an airplane, like sticking out like that. So evangelist's air went out the window, but everybody piled into my tent, you know, because tarantulas. So they're in there with me. We had a three-man tent, and we had five men in it. And they all got in it before I could even get in it. And I had to crawl down at their feet. And you talk about something humbling. Amen. We've been riding all day, and we haven't bathed. And they took off them shoes and socks. And I climbed in. Listen, there's all these men in there, and I'm down there just double the number. I got that many of them old stinking feet, and I had to lay down there and turn my head the other way and smell the canvas. But the compassion of Jesus. We had to help this lady. She's Canadian. We had to help her on the bus. We had to help her off the bus. She wasn't part of the missionary bunch. She wasn't part of the teaching or preaching bunch. And we wondered, okay, what's she doing here? You know, we're having to help her, and she's kind of, you know, an imposition. As we shared testimony and the preaching was given, you know what her ministry was? She was out in that audience. She'd see somebody with tears in their eyes. She'd go up to them and she'd grab them. And she'd just love on them. Amen. She see somebody else in that crowd, she just grab them and hold them like a mama hen does chicks, and just love on them and say, God loves you and I love you. And they would weep and hold her back. And I thought, we're up there teaching the love of God. We're up there preaching the love of God. She's out in that audience showing the love of God. And I thought, she's out there validating. Amen. We're bringing the gospel they haven't heard. A lot of them steeped in voodoo and everything else. But we're telling them about Jesus. Amen. And she's out there showing them Jesus. She's ministering Christ to them. She had a lampstand. Said she had a lampstand. She didn't have a theological degree from a seminary, but she had a heart for God and a heart for lost people. And they felt it. And she was ministering Jesus to them. And there was no superior attitude, because they were uneducated and because they were of a different skin color and a different culture. She didn't feel superior. I'll tell you, when the love of God flows through you, it creates a common ground at the foot of the cross. There's no male. There's no female. There's no bond. There's no free. There's no rich. There's no poor. Can you say, man, we become one in Jesus Christ? And people sense it. And I thought, boy, that guy can preach. He's a good evangelist. He knows Scripture and how to put them together. And he can really shuck the corn when it comes to preaching. But what he can't do is minister Christ to these people. He can't do that, because he doesn't love them with the love of God. He feels superior. How can you feel superior? Because you're more highly educated, because your skin tone is different, from you come from a different culture. How can you feel superior to people for whom Christ died, whom he sends to tell them of what? Of his great love for them. I'm actually glad he didn't go with us to Haiti. I wouldn't want him on the trip. I'm glad God sent the little lady from Canada that we had to help on and off the bus, because she could communicate Jesus that we were preaching and teaching by loving people. Just loving people. See, love for the Lord will make it easy to love people. That sweetness, that softness that happens in our heart, it communicates. Because when Granny on the Hillbillies comes out and gives you a hug, you know it's working. I'm not talking about your mojo either, because I'm talking about something bigger than the mojo. Can you? No offense, Joe. Anyway, hallelujah. Amen. Amen? It's God drawing. It's God wooing. Praise God. Hallelujah. The kids, the greatest preacher in the world, the greatest theologian with all the revelation, the giver of the revelation, the spirit of prophecy himself, Can you say, man, Jesus? And kids are running to him. Why in the world would they do that? This one with such greatness and vastness, because something about the nature of God was drawing them in, pulling them in. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. God wants something in our heart, something of him that pulls them in, so they'll listen when we talk about him, when we teach about him. Can you say amen? I don't want to minister without a lampstand. I may win a theological argument, but I'm not winning a soul to Jesus. Years later, I heard of Larry Messenger going with a mission group down into somewhere in Central America to help put a roof on some mission house. His son was mentally disabled, but his son came to Christ. And with a mental disability, couldn't finish school. In public school. He could not finish public school. He graduated from Southeastern Bible College. Amen. Wow. Everybody say lampstand. Glory to God. The lampstand's the supernatural. God, Uncle Bud Robinson. Yes, he knew some scripture, but he was not eloquent. He was not like Apollos, mighty in the word. Even Apollos couldn't get it done without the lampstand. Amen. Amen? Uncle Bud Robinson with his lisp talking about Jesus and his love for you. They would come all over the place to hear him preach because of his colloquialism, because of his West Virginia backwoods accent and his delivery. Uncle Bud Robinson talking about you, if you really get Jesus in your heart, your honey bucket going to turn over and you're going to become so sweet that everybody in the village will want to come to church with you and hear about Jesus. And they would come to criticize him. And while he was ministering because of a lampstand, can you say amen? Everybody say a lampstand. Glory to God. Something supernatural. Come on, this was not a fixture in the church. This was God, amen, taking his word and the Holy Spirit driving it into the heart. Can you say amen? Pushing back the powers of darkness, praise God. Letting the scales fall off of the eyes, melting hardened hearts because somebody loves Jesus and somebody loves people that he died for. Sometimes aristocrats would come, the high ups, to make fun, and they would sit back and chuckle while he started ministering. But then conviction, lampstand, everybody say lampstand. Conviction would come and fall upon those people. And those people would come in their suits down front and kneel at an old-fashioned altar and receive Jesus as their Savior. And he was credited with winning thousands of souls to Jesus Christ. And the only thing you could point to was a lampstand. There was a whole lot of people that could preach better, but they couldn't love like he loved. Wow. That's why the love issue is so crucial and critical with Christ. He said, if you don't get this right, I'm going to remove your lampstand. You're going to have church, and all of you are going to do just fine. But you're not going to touch this world for me. You can't. And there's something that God says, if you try to touch this, I'm not going to help you touch this world unless you're authentic. If you're just a religious, if you're more interested in winning an argument than winning a soul, you're not jealous for God. You got an ego. And that ego has to say, I'm right. Amen. And God wants you to be right biblically. But you can't be right just because you know Scripture. You got to be right because you know him. Because you're... Don't let the rich man glory in his riches, the mighty man in his might, or the wise man in his wisdom. But he that glorieth, let him glory in this, that he knows and understands me, saith God. Can you say amen? To know him, you've got to have a walk with him. To know him, you've got to have a relationship with him. Can you say amen? To know him, you've got to become intimate with him. Can you say amen? And that intimacy with him begins to communicate to them. Without it, you're just theologically correct. Biblically true. but without the passion and compassion of Jesus. Remember the story I told you, true story, as we close tonight? How many want a lampstand in your life? You don't want to lose your lampstand. Because if you do, you're going to die with all that truth. But you're not going to take anybody to heaven with you. And God wants you to take somebody to heaven with you. If God can give me a soul 6 weeks after I'm saved, think what he can do for us with all the knowledge we have now. If we get this right, listen to me carefully. Because he draws them by his Spirit. A lampstand pushes back that darkness. Holy Spirit draws people. Praise God. I remember this lady couldn't get her, true story, she couldn't get her husband to go to church. He just didn't want to go. She finally got him to go. And they had an evangelist preaching that night. And he preached on a subject that we need to hear more about. Don't want to hear it, but we need to hear it. Jesus talked about it more than heaven. He ministered on hell and the awful plight of the lost. And he preached hell hot, and he preached it biblically correct. And there wasn't one thing he said that wasn't right there in the Word of God. The problem was, he preached it without a passionate love for Christ. He had a love for the truth of that book, but not a love for the one who wrote it and the one who said, I am the truth. You separate him from that Bible, you don't have the authentic gospel, though you have that book in your hand. Can you say amen? Amen. The Word was made flesh. Somebody said, what is truth? Nobody whipped a Bible out. Jesus didn't whip out the Old Testament. When they said, what is truth? He said, I'm the truth. I'm the way, I'm the truth, and I am the life. You take me out of truth, it's not the truth anymore. It's biblically correct, but it's not the truth without me. And when the church tries to communicate this book without him, the world sees through it. And the darkness is never penetrated. But a lampstand drives it back because it's fueled by the oil of the Holy Spirit himself. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. Listen to me. It's almost over. Altar call made. This guy can't wait to run, not to the altar, but out of the building. Amen. He says, I'm never going back there again. I didn't want to come in the first place. 3 years go by. They're having another mighty revival. Man been preaching every night on the love of God. She says, come go with me. He's preaching the love of God. You've got to hear this. Never heard anybody preach the cross as good as this man. The guy's finally got over his bad experience now or whatever it was, and he decided to go back with her. They go in. Guy comes out and says, God has changed my message tonight. Lady thinks, oh, here, oh, no. God has changed my message tonight, and I've got to obey the leading of the Spirit. Finally got her husband after 3 years back. He says, this is a message I know nobody here wants to hear, but God has told me to minister it to you. And he preached on the awful plight of the lost. He preached on the place of torment. He preached on hell. She thought her husband was going to leave immediately, but he sat through it. He never showed emotion. He was stone-faced. He never moved a muscle. Down at the end of the service, this minister was weeping for lost souls. It was compassion that brought him to that message. And he was weeping with compassion for the lost. And the minister said, every head bowed, every eye closed. He said, if you're here tonight and you don't know Jesus, and she said she was praying, oh, God, my husband, save my husband. And she said, the guy prayed in the place. You could just feel the conviction of God in that place. And she said, she looked up, and her husband was gone. She said, he's in the car. This is it. He will never come back again. Amen. But she looked forward, and there was people in the altars. And right down at the end of the altar, there was her husband weeping and receiving Jesus as his personal Savior. Amen. And she couldn't believe her eyes because this was the message that run him off before. And on the way home, she quizzed him. And she said, you said you'd never go back? He said, what changed your mind? Because this was the same message that you heard, that you said you would never go back to church again. He said, I know it was the same message. But he said, the first time I heard it, that man preached on hell and acted like he was glad that everybody was going there. He said, this man preached on hell and acted like it was tearing his heart apart for anybody to go to that place. He said, that's the difference. Honey, that love for God and that love for people can take the same message, but give it a lampstand, give it that anointing, bring that heart guard down so that the anointing of God can reach down inside and illuminate that dark place. Amen. The Church of Jesus Christ wants to join the reapers. We're going to have to get serious about the first love. If we've lost a lampstand, I can tell you exactly how to get it back. Don't try to show your spiritual credentials. Check your love life. Make sure that you and Jesus have an intimate, personal relationship. You'll be like a city that is set on a hill. That lampstand will shine through you just like it did that public meat cutter. Larry said, when that guy sings, we all feel it. He don't sing as well as the one that's singing to the audience. Can you say amen? He just closes his eyes and he sings and said, we all sense and we can't wait for him to do a special. Why? What's the difference? It's that love relationship with God. Giving an authenticity. It's not just beautiful words. It's not just biblical words. It's a truth that is expressed in reality, in the heart, and in the life. Can you say, man, are you seeing what I'm telling you tonight? I have to tell you this, because if you lose your lampstand, you can amen every message, and you should. You can stand on the truth of the word, and you should. Open it up to Revelation chapter 2. Ephesus did every bit of that. And Jesus said, unless you get personal with me, I'm going to come to you. How? How long is he going to tolerate this? How's he coming? I'm coming to you quickly. And what's he going to take? He's going to take the lampstand. When he takes the lampstand, guess what? The church stays right within those four walls. God can't add to it daily. Why can't he? Because the lampstand is gone. And the only thing you're left with to witness with is intellect to intellect. And the God of this world is using the supernatural to blind the mind. And you don't have the supernatural to show the light. Can you say amen? Baptized in the Holy Ghost isn't enough. Amen. By the way, speaking of the baptism of the Holy Ghost sheds not just power, dunamis. He sheds something else in our heart. Amen. He sheds the love of God abroad amen. In our heart. Can you say amen? And I can't explain it. It's supernatural. Last funeral I was at, it was such a downer. There was such oppression. There was family issues among the family. There was all this stuff. The husband of my son's mother-in-law, his father-in-law, he's sick and not even supposed to be alive. We prayed for him. It's the only reason he's alive. Amen. He wasn't even supposed to come out of the hospital. If he did, he's supposed to go to a nursing home. He's been home for years. God has been gracious to that family. Alan told me the other day, God answered that prayer just like you asked him to. He answered it just verbatim. But anyway, we're at this funeral, and it's been a downer. I can't. When I opened up, I said, there's no words I can say. Nothing I can say. Listen, there's a book full of words here. And they're right words and they're truthful words, but there's no words I can say to communicate what God wants to tell you, to cover you like God wants to cover you. But the Holy Spirit can take these words. He can give counsel. He can give comfort. And the Spirit of God, that lampstand, let supernatural light shine. I'm telling you, God was there. There was more than just the truth from the page delivered. The Holy Spirit took something and he made it real. And whether people come to God or not, they were in the presence of Almighty God and they knew it. And they came up afterwards wanting to tell me. I had a lady come up that she was in her 70s, and she came up, a family member, and said, believe me, at my age, I've been to many funerals. A lot of them had died of cancer in that family. Said, I've been to many, many funerals. But she said, I've never been to a funeral like this one. Amen. Listen, friend, I've got sense enough to know that I'm not that eloquent. You know what it was? I knew what it was. I didn't take that as a personal compliment. God did what I asked him to do. God took the word and my feeble ability to say a few words in a few, but the Holy Spirit took it. Come on, church. We say we depend on the Holy Ghost. Don't get off of that. Stay on that. You're on the right track. Amen. This is not an intellectual thing that you win intellectually. This is a spiritual battle. I got to give you one more scripture. Have you got time for one more? It's almost over. Listen to it. Amen. Listen. This is not just about your disciplining of your mind. This is about winning the battle for the mind. Amen. Listen to this. Listen, you've got to get a hold of this tonight. I don't know how to put it any plainer. If we're going to join the reapers tonight, we've got to get back in love with God. And through that love of God that's in our heart by the Holy Spirit, we got to start loving people so that the barriers come down and the light can shine in the dark places that could never penetrate any other way. The weapons. This is warring against the powers of darkness for the souls of men and women. And the weapons to win that war, the weapons of our warfare are not carnal. But they are mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds. You want to know where? It's not over cities. It's not even over people. It's in that blinded mind. Amen. The weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds. Where does it start? What's the first of all? The casting down of imaginations. How could a fish swallow a man? Throat's too narrow. Casting down imaginations and bringing every thought, all of this analyzing and reasoning, discrediting and discounting God. Can you, depending on science and logic and reason, all casting down imaginations and every high thing that exalts itself against the what? The knowledge of God. Bringing every thought. Those thoughts that Satan has blinded and held captive. Bringing them into captivity. To what? To the obedience of who? Of Jesus Christ. Where people are willing to come out of the prison house and change masters. And accept Jesus as their Lord and Savior. Because we didn't just intellectually get them to come down and shake a preacher's hand. Amen. That lampstand, that light shined in the darkness and they saw it. Hallelujah. And they changed masters. I said they changed masters. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. Then we see the harvest. Then we join the reapers. Then our witness becomes effective. Then we become dangerous to the devil and useful to God. Can you say amen? Somebody give him praise in this place. Hallelujah. Brother, would you come? Hallelujah. People with the credentials of that church in Ephesus are not always open to repentance. They've got so much right, they're not willing to deal with what's wrong. Amen? And the world around us. Souls, precious souls, are lost. While we declare our commitment to truth. Truth is more than just the inerrancy of God's word. Truth is a person. And if you take the person away and the relationship to him and with him, we're not communicating Christ to them. We're just readers of the book. We've got to be far more than that to win these souls to Jesus. Amen. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. I want to see my big Latino friend come to Christ. I want to see Granny do this to the devil. Hallelujah. I'm going to see the lady at the cleaners. Hear her one day say, I came to Jesus because every time I saw you, you were kind to me. You were patient. You represented something more than clergy. You don't have to see clergy on the back of your car. Can you say amen? To convince you that you represent the Lord. We're ambassadors for who? Who do we represent in this old fallen world? We're ambassadors for a person of Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. Can you say amen? Glory to God. That's why the Holy Spirit was given us, to be witnesses unto Him. We represent Him, praise God. And because we represent Him, God sends us to reach them. Hallelujah. And I believe this is going to be a year of harvest for people who are deciding, I want more than just a knowledge of the truth and the Word. I want to know Him who is the truth, intimately and personally. Oh, that I might know Him. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. Well, do you love the Lord tonight? Do you feel that love can grow, that even more love can flow from us to Him tonight? Hallelujah. I believe God is going to use us. I believe so much. Be ready as you grow closer to God and you start developing in love for people. Be instant in season, out of season. Be ready. I'm giving you fair warning. Be ready for somebody to come up to you out of the clear blue and want to talk about the Lord. Amen. And you don't have to be a great theologian to lead somebody to Jesus. Amen. Glory to God. Grow in grace. Grow in love. Grow in the knowledge of the Word of God. But know that knowing Him is the most important element in winning people to Jesus. Praise God. Hallelujah. What a mighty God that we serve. Hallelujah. Will you stand to your feet tonight? And will you do number one on there? I feel a victory song just before we leave tonight. Amen. I want that simplicity. I want that purity. I want that honesty, that authenticity in my life. Can you say amen? Praise God, because I want to win people to Jesus. Hallelujah. Amen. Glory to God. Glory to God. Let's just give Him praise before we leave here.